This is First Cast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to First Cast. I'm Matt Kress from 263.
I'm Connor Ryan from 1403.
And I'm Adam Richards from 1341.
In our news today, we have, I'm sure all of you have heard that Atlanta has been awarded nationals again for 2007. Also, for Send Out the Letters, regional registration will be opening up in just a few short weeks.
Yeah, looks like we got some interesting stuff coming up for 2006, don't we? First off, we're back in Atlanta for 2007, aren't we?
Yeah, what do you guys think? I think it's good and bad.
I don't know. I mean, teams are used to this being a hub and everything. They're used to the location. They were great last year. But, I mean, more can be desired.
Well, I mean, how much more could you ask for?
Yeah, everything right now is out of our reach, really, because of team budget restrictions.
Yeah. I mean, and if the more stuff First adds, the more it's going to cost. And if it gets too much, they're going to have to start charging us more.
I was more talking about the location being bad. I mean, there's nothing really to do in Atlanta for people after the tournament ends over the day.
Well, there's very few places that can accommodate 1,000 teams worth of teenagers running around looking for something to do, except maybe Disney, but we've outgrown Disney several times over.
Yeah, the city itself does shut down. It's hard enough to find a restaurant after about 6:30 or so.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was a 11-block walk to find dinner.
Ouch. It's gotta suck.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're hungry, grumpy, and your teachers are whining more than you are.
Yeah, but overall, I think Atlanta is probably a better location, potentially, than either the potentials of Detroit, Disney, or Indianapolis.
And it's way better than Texas in 2003, I can tell you that. Texas was pretty good on restaurants, but the weather sucked. There was nothing else to do but eat. It wasn't everything closed, there was nothing to close. It was desolate. And even the first team party in the amusement park, I don't know if you guys have ever been to that amusement park, it's a graveyard for rides, there was nothing all that interesting there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, I think, but on size restrictions, Atlanta still has room to grow. We're only using half of the pit area that we could be using, so that's great. The Congress Center is huge. Anyway, let's move on to the regionals. The dates have been announced for 2006. What do you guys think?
Well, I think First has a hidden tactic here. If you guys recall, the last few years, there were some complaints about some of the more well-off teams going to multiple regionals, having multiple chances. If you'll notice, I noticed this, actually, if you look at the dates for the regionals and their locations, all the regionals in same areas are at the same time, making it much harder for a team to attend multiple regionals unless they're really well-off. Anybody else notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that the Long Island regional was the same exact date as the New York City regional, and that's just down the street from it. The Rochester regional...
Not exactly down the street, but yeah, it's pretty close.
The Rochester regional is, well, on the other side of the state. It's on a different week. But yeah, it does sort of prove that.
But I mean, First never said anything about it. I noticed it the other day, and I think it's pretty brilliant the way they're doing it.
Yeah, it makes it a lot harder to attend two regionals with a lower budget now. But I think some teams will still pull it off. Everyone's determined to go to two regionals or more.
Yeah, I know. But the way I like about it, First did it pretty covertly. They didn't say anything about it. They didn't say, okay, this is the... They just did it. And, you know, they probably saved themselves from a lot of flack doing that. If they had announced it and pointed it out, a lot of people would have been bashing them, you know?
Yeah, alright. Did you guys notice the two new regionals this year? Boston and Milwaukee, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's them. Should be interesting. There's a decent amount of teams in both of those areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Wisconsin or Milwaukee, they have the 23rd and the 25th going on. And Boston also has the 23rd, 25th, so that should be interesting.
I noticed there seems to be a lot more regionals later in the month. I don't know if it's just me being paranoid, but what do you guys think of that versus early regional versus late regional? Do you think the teams at the late regionals have more of an advantage?
Yeah, I mean, they're used to the game by that point, even though some of them had already gone to some local tournaments prior to ship. They're really getting used to the game and how it's played strategy-wise and everything else regarding the game. So by the second week, they're more prepared than they would have been in the first week because they're going in blind to game dynamics that they wouldn't have thought of before.
True. Do you think First should do anything about this? I don't know, maybe bias it so second half of the month regionals aren't worth as much?
I don't really think so. I mean, they have only four regionals the first week. So the strategy of going to a regional for the first week and making that basically a dead regional that you don't do much in, except for learn the game, isn't going to work anymore.
Yeah, that definitely helps for IFI, too, and because remember, they how many problems they have going into the first regional. They just have to get the bugs worked out, and with minimal regionals on the first few weeks, that definitely helps. But it also helps everyone learn the game a little better, too.
Yeah, I know what you mean with the IFI bugs. I think it was either this year or last that the scoring computers just refused to work during matches. Even the match controllers just sometimes abort mid-match.
Yeah, hopefully it'll probably be a better run event this year overall. But, yeah, it's going to be definitely interesting. And they also brought back the Israel Regional, which I'm pretty excited about, too. It's good to know that that's going on well.
Yeah, last I heard, they're also trying to get a official Brazilian Regional, but they don't have enough teams. And also, they're planning to expand to a British Regional, but again, they don't have enough teams, even less so than they do in Brazil.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. How many Israeli teams were there for the first year of the regional? It was only like eight, right? How many teams could you need?
Well, I know they have five or six Brazilian teams, and they're all willing for regional, but I think also shipping and getting stuff there, it can be done, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be interesting for First. They ship it all the way up here, and then First turns around and ships it all the way back.
Well, they also made a point this year that there's seven playing fields, and only all seven are used 1 week in particular, so and most for the first week you have four regionals, and I think for three of the other weeks you have six working. So they can probably get them around. I think that one extra one's going to Israel. Okay, let's move on to what's doing the show outline. Every week we pretty much want to keep everything in particular. We want to talk about some news that's going on in the First World, like where the events are going to be, 2006 information, rule updates and stuff. We also want to talk about a couple other things, like some tech news, robotics news. Go into a rookie tip, too. We also want to have rookie tips every week, giving everybody some ideas. Maybe some veteran teams can give some people ideas, too.
Yeah, we're going to try to keep everything in the same general order. You know, the show will start up, we'll have our news headlines for you, a little discussion about those headlines, probably our tip after that. We might mix it up a little bit at times also. We'll also have the mailbag segment towards the end, where we will read off emails you guys send us at firstpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us suggestions for what you want on the show, your own tips if you think you have a good one for us. We need guest speakers. If you think you're worthy guest speaker, drop us an email too. In fact, just about anything you want to tell us, you can email us again at firstpodcast@gmail.com.
Remember, if you want to be a guest speaker, put in the email what you want to talk about with us. We'd like to have some ideas, too, for theming the show.
Also, another feature of the show, hopefully, after build season, when the regionals come around, we're going to try to bring you guys live shows and live updates from the regionals. Hopefully that'll work out for us.
Yeah, just wait to see what we got planned for you guys. It's going to be huge. We have plenty of ideas.
Oh yeah, plenty of ideas. Speaking of ideas, I'm sure you're all wanting an idea of how we do this show. There's three main parts to it. There's the software we use, there's the production that comes afterwards, and then distribution, which is getting it to all of you. The software, primarily, we use Audacity to record our broadcasts, and we speak to each other online using Ventrilo VoiceOver IP software. Also, we keep some scripting open up in the Ventrilo chat that we send to each other to keep things somewhat flowing. After we all record it, it's all sent to Connor, who can tell you how he produces the show from there.
Oh, this is fun. What I usually do is, me and a good friend of mine, Jared Judge, who's also joining 1403 this year, We use GarageBand and add some effects and stuff. Maybe some, we get some introductions and sound blips done. It sounds pretty cool. Then we try to make it look professional. Make it look good and stuff. And then we send it off to Adam, who also heads up the distribution for this.
Yeah, basically we're going to try to do three main distribution methods this year. First, we're going to do direct HTTP download, which is your standard download that everyone else uses on the web. Pretty basic stuff. The second one we're going to use is BitTorrent. Many of you have used that already. It basically sends small packets of the file between users and then compiles it on your end. It allows for faster distribution. When bandwidth is down on the HTTP server, we can still transfer the file over BitTorrent for everyone else.
Yeah, another good thing about that is it'll reduce load on all of our hosts. So, I mean, we have a lot of guys donating hosting. We don't want to break them.
Yeah, and all our hosting's going to be free. So, try to, if you can, use the BitTorrent and make sure you don't leech. Turn on your uploading abilities, too. The faster you share it, the faster everyone gets it. And everybody's happy then.
Yeah, also, the direct downloads and the BitTorrent streams will be coming in at a nice standard MP3 format. So, any of your systems, you know, Winamp, whatever media player you use, will be able to play it.
The third distribution method that we're going to try, I'm not sure if we're going to have it up for this show or not, but we're going to try to get it through iTunes so you can synchronize it and download it every week without having to check our website and then upload it straight to your iPod for your viewing or listening pleasure.
Hopefully that stuff will come on through. Let's do the rookie tip for this week. Adam, you got that, right?
Alright, the rookie tip for this week is to keep your unit similar and check your conversions. Everything has to be perfect, or else you're going to have a lot of things that are going to be screwed up by the time that you try to replace parts. Make sure that metric and imperial measurements are noted and that you know what's what.
As a team that used two units last year, it's definitely a lot easier to just use one unit because you don't want to go running around the toolbox looking for that one metric 5 at the last second trying to fix something, tighten it up. It basically make it work faster. One unit is a lot more efficient, you're using less stuff. Okay, so at this part in the show, we want to acknowledge some of the people that are helping us get this off, especially OpenFirst. OpenFirst is an organization that a couple programmers started to basically get some programs, get some ideas and first development stuff across. So we want to thank Tim Jin and the guys doing OpenFirst to a couple things. And they also are asking you guys to do some work. They have a couple positions open working with them. And check our website for links and stuff. So, Adam, let's get back to the show.
Alright. I don't know if any of you have heard of this site yet, but this site is called dig.com, D-I-G-G.com. It's a open source tech news, similar to Slashdot, but the users choose what goes on the website instead of the Commander Taco of Slashdot. I found an interesting article this week. Robotic spy planes use shape-shifting wings. Small robotic spy planes have been developed that used shape-shifting wings to switch from being stable gliders to ultra-maneuverable flyers. They've been able to spin around, about, I think it was 3 times in a second?
Something ridiculously high.
With a wingspan of 60 centimeters.
Wow, that is pretty impressive and kind of scary. Nobody flies on these, right?
Yes, thankfully no one does because they'd get very sick very fast. Also, they'd have to be very, very small as the wingspan, as I said, was only 60 centimeters.
Yeah, that would definitely help. I'm not sure if I'd like to fly in a 5-foot wingspan airplane. Some of those ones that are even 12 feet are a little scary.
Also, we'd also like to thank a few other people, like Alex Peelan for his expertise in broadcasting, and he's given us some tips for that, which don't seem to be working.
Also, Tim Jin for supplying the space for the website and also our first HTTP download mirror.
And also Jared Judge down here on 1403 who's helping me with the production of it and helping us with some Mac software. Apparently there is a use for that stuff.
Oh, come on, Connor. Macs
Amazing.
Are nice.
Okay, I'll admit it. I do kind of want a mini Mac now to do some audio editing and possibly make the stuff work better. But anyway, I guess that would conclude this broadcast. Thank you for listening, and check back next Monday for another download.
We apologize for any brain thinning we may have done. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next week. This is Matt signing out.
And this is Adam Richards signing off.